Let's bow for a word of prayer. Spirit of God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight and bear much fruit to honor you. Amen. I sat there, David set the lights, when Daryl Friesen was seated at the piano, Jose Sanchez raised his violin, placed his bow, and together they played Romance from Violin Concerto No. 2. Drawn into its beauty, I closed my eyes as the lyrical strains of the violin carried me. Tears unbidden graced my cheeks as God used the voice of the violin, and I heard again that familiar call, "Come here, little girl, let me hold you." Oh, the goodness of God in choosing a chunk of wood, which the luthier had chiseled away at until, together with the strings harvested from sheep intestine, was ready to give off its warm, complex tones, ringing out words of love. When the performance of these well-practiced musicians ended, the applause was evidence that God had led all to revel in the goodness of music. 2 weeks ago, here in the sanctuary, the piano and the strains of the cello led us in worship as they spoke, "Nothing is lost in the breath of God." And last Sunday, the violin and the piano rang out words of affirmation. "Great is thy faithfulness," turning a well-known hymn into extraordinary, speaking words of love, joy, peace, and goodness, all wrapped in one, wrapped in one song. How many of us have not known the embrace of God's goodness fill the room when sitting back or sitting with a sick or dying loved one, and seen unfolding before our very eyes the song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." How often have you not felt the embrace of goodness as the rainbow appears, or seeing vast tracts of color-laden fields, flowers, and trees refreshed in the warmth of the sun after the rain? And those of us who were sitting in Roxy and Alf's garden paradise felt the beauty of nature embrace us through the flowers, trees, rocks, birds in song, a butterfly's visit, a dragonfly. Goodness of God transforming common occurrences into the extraordinary. Oh, the inexhaustible cycle of God's goodness, always present, always sufficient, always trustworthy, and always available, waiting for us to enjoy as we see God's goodness transforming common occurrences into the extraordinary. Take a moment to reflect where you have experienced the presence of God's goodness transforming a common occurrence into the extraordinary. In the past 5 weeks, we have been challenged to become more skilled in recognizing and allowing the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness to guide us. Today, we tackle goodness. I don't have answers. Rather, I have observations and questions. Let's briefly turn our thoughts to the story of Moses and the Israelites. The story teaches us that God, despite all the griping of the people during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, taught and matured them as they experienced the goodness of God through the provision of their daily needs. We know even a man like Moses, although having experienced God's goodness in many ways, when God called him to lead my people to freedom, he was reluctant to take up the assignment and questioned, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? From Exodus 3:13. In other words, Moses is asking, who are you really? And how will your being and going with me give me and my people comfort and courage? The answer he is given, I am who I am. The name I am sounds mystifying, but actually incredibly telling, and maybe too simplified. But can we entertain the thought that Paul in Galatians 5 has expanded the I am for us, so we too can be led into freedom as we experience and give witness to God as the ever-present I am? I am your love. I am your joy. I am your peace. I am your presence. I am your kindness. I am your goodness. When talking about the goodness of God, the I am, who is the fruits of the Spirit indwelling us, Jesus assures us in John 14:20 that he is the essence. He is the source. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19, declares, you all are the temple of God, and God's Spirit lives in you. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we have been transformed into the noblest kind of building. Then, in Christ, collectively, are we not the I am's dwelling place? If we believe these words to be truth, then in Christ's finished work, we are declared God's temple. And now we are asked to be God's representatives at work, transforming common experiences into the extraordinary by exercising the fruits of the Spirit dwelling within us. Is it not truly remarkable that God is willing to relate to us on this level? God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, totally self-sufficient and does not require anything, yet desires the intimacy of fellowship with us, longs to meet with us and listen to our arguments as we wrestle with the many faces of God's goodness while experiencing I am's presence of love, of joy, peace, patience, and kindness, as Jesus did. When we patiently allow for our inner journey to open us to see, to experience the goodness of God amid our own joys and struggles and the world's present pain, brokenness, and despair, it opens us to see where we recognize inward and outward transformation happens simultaneously. Transformation not just in us, but also in the hearts of all people who too are liberated by and living in God's astonishing goodness. And ever so slowly, in the 40 years of our wilderness wanderings, we, like the Israelites, begin to recognize there is and always has been this continuous intersecting of heaven and earth. God's kingdom of goodness made visible. The ongoing fulfilling of Jesus' prayer, thy kingdom come. I have seen this goodness at play here in Covenant, and in the lives of my loved ones. When seeing your outpouring of love to all, I can't stop thanking God for you. But I do more than thank. I ask the God of our Lord Jesus Christ to make you wiser in knowing God personally and see exactly what it is you are being called into and grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life God has for you as you follow Jesus' teachings. For some, walking into the purposes of God comes naturally and easily, but let me guess, for most, me included, a lot of help is needed. Vigilance is my operative word. Because I keep on learning, knowledge has to become experiential for it to be meaningful. Lacking discernment, and maybe even lacking the desire to explore the scriptures, what they call us to, keeps us from living in the goodness that God longs for us to enjoy and make visible through us and pour out into our world. If God is always mystery, then God is always in some way the challenge in the unfamiliar, beyond what we're used to, beyond what we can explain or understand. It's like what St. Augustine in the 4th century said, if you comprehend it, it is not God. And yet, very often we want a God who reflects and even confirms our scripted theology, our culture, our prejudices, and all that represents security to us. We know all are created in God's image, equally loved, yet we have not returned this compliment to one another, so to speak. The God we've created allows us the freedom to justify being selfish, judgmental, dishonest, bully, destroy people's reputations through gossip, ignore the poor, and scorn the homeless. The foreigner among us, among many other things. This God does not allow us to find pleasure in dance, art, music, nature, animals, and one another, in all our differences, our uniqueness. Sadly, we've created a caricature. We've created a God who controls and fits into our myopia. And we miss out on what true freedom and goodness is. Embracing the God who is greater than our culture, greater than what we can see, our immediate needs, and our projections is challenging. For those ideas and teachings that give us a sense of rightness, superiority, wants to keep things firmly in its grasp and comfort us. This God, the I Am who is the fruit of the Spirit, loves and indiscriminately shows goodness to all. Even those who do not express their faith with the exact same lifestyle or words we use. If God, Jesus is really the image of the invisible God, as we read in Colossians 1:15, then God is nothing like we've created. Rather, the very opposite, one whom the scripture calls the servant, who loves all, one who invites us to a flourish in the fruit of the Spirit, as Jesus did. God is essentially calling us back to the ordinary, to find goodness in the ordinary, saying, look me in the eye. Reconnect with who I am and see as I see. Do as I do. My goodness waits for you. And when you taste, you will see that I am good. So Let's not despair. Rather, be encouraged. For although we may be unfaithful, like Moses and his people were, God is ever pursuing us, showering us all with goodness. That is the mystery and miracle of God's Spirit at work, our very breath of life. During our Lesotho village living, God fashioned for us a practical picture of goodness in the words, "You coming to live among us is like God has come to live among us." We have prayed for someone to come, listen to our plight, and now God has sent you. Interestingly, our coming to them was displaying one of the many faces of God's goodness, and happily said so. And the Basotho took us to the holy place where God's face of goodness was even found in being able to sing away the hunger. Did they own a Bible or know how to read? Some yes, some not. Could they recite the four spiritual laws? No. Even if they did not know what Joshua 1:5 said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. They experienced this promise and the presence of God's goodness. Returning to Manitoba, I saw afresh God's goodness at play in the unfettered joy of a child, splashing barefooted in a puddle of water, even when discovering rainworms. I saw the excitement of a child running through a harvested field, and when seeing a bean seed, stop, pick it up, and cradle this precious gem, then plant it. And when it broke through the soil, I saw the amazement written on his face. And all he wanted was for us to sit together and watch it grow. Sitting there, I felt warmed in the unmitted glow of an awe of the awe written on the face of a child. Goodness of God personified, not common, but out of the ordinary. Experiences of this kind change you. They never leave you and largely remain beyond words. Feeling handicapped in explaining these workings of God, I've come to understand, for me, these are God's blessing in disguise. Have you been warmed by the glow of one who lives in the presence of God? One who has this something you long to be near, but afraid to wholeheartedly give yourself to for fear of what it might require of you? Exodus 33:11 tells us, "Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." Joshua had seen Moses meeting with God, perhaps overhearing some of the intimate conversations between them, and he stayed in the tent hoping to develop a similar friendship with God. Joshua did not just want to believe in God and obey, but know God as his good and faithful friend, not common, but out of the ordinary. Have you ever wondered why Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, not in Jerusalem, when he stood by at the stoning of Stephen? I suggest when we are so busy doing what it is we do, it is often outside of our normal environments where we are most receptive to hearing God's voice, seeing God's goodness. We may not be driven to seeing this goodness when surrounded by the familiar, but being somewhere new, being in the presence of one who finds wonder in what we think common, ordinary, helps us to see things from a fresh perspective. Like Jesus, who did not wake up one morning and knew what the attitudes of the fruit of the Spirit entailed, but began learning this as a child and matured as he cultivated his understanding. That, too, is God's desire for us. Be assured, when challenges come, when the challenge ensues, our heels dig in as the dismantling begins. But thank goodness, reconstruction too. Do we long to know more about the face of God's goodness, not just what it means, but see common occurrences transform into the extraordinary, be warmed in its glow? Jesus invites us, come, learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And I know in this our desires will be met, for we are not separated from God. But rest assured, like the luthier chisels away at his selected piece of wood until it is able to give off the most beautiful tones, warm and inviting, God will chisel away at us until we and others through us will hear God's voice. Come here, little boy. Come here, little girl. Let me hold you. Let me guide you as you exercise the fruit of the Spirit already in you and waiting to burst forth, fruit which is the I am of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness and goodness. Amen.